Now, I'm not today's session in just 2.5 hours. We're going to focus on this is not an overall seminar on how to list and sell. Today is just a focus on how you can net more money. You know, what's important is not how much money we make, but how much money we what? Keep. And I got to tell you, this is the first time that I'm delivering this seminar, kind of. When I say kind of, is that since, let me tell you where I've been for the past 10 years. Like you care. But let me tell you anyway. In 1993, I created this training course called the Power Program. And we have some power agents here. By the way, those of you that are power agents, could you raise your hands? Let me see. Bing, 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 bing. These are people who've gone through the Power Program. This is the only course, thank you, that meets once a month for 12 consecutive months. When we look at the Long and Foster power agents, when they came into the course, they were averaging 15 transactions a year. When they graduated, they were doing 35 transactions. How many say that's a pretty good increase? It's a pretty good increase. So they more than doubled. And when you work with, as a trainer, when you work with the same group of agents month to month to month for 12 months, you learn about real estate even more than when I was an agent. In other words, I'm a better agent now than when I was listing and selling. Are you all with me? Because you teach me. I become stronger. So anyway, my point is during the Power Program, I've been focusing on how agents can get more listings, more sales, yada, yada. And of course, one of the common questions that come up in class is, how do you deal with commissions? How do you get higher commissions? So Jo Boyner, your training director, she asked me if I would take the best of the best from the course, and I didn't want to just give you the best of the best. I wanted to give you extra material. Meaning that for the past month, I've been asking other agents, what do you do to get more higher commissions? How do you deal with this problem? So I got a ton of stuff to teach you. You guys excited? Yes or no? All right, now, by the way, you got to be creative in today's market, yes?
Yes.
It's like the broker, this broker, he had an office that all of a sudden he got very upset because another office opened up right next door to him and had a big sign that said, the best agents. So he was a little upset by this. He had competition right next door. All of a sudden, shortly after that, another real estate office, another competitor opened up on the other side of him. And it said lower commissions. Big sign, same size. So here he's got on the left, he's got this one company, best agents on the right side. He's got lower commissions. So he decides to get creative. He puts up a bigger sign over his front door and it says main entrance. So you got to be creative. So brokers and managers, we got concerned about commission. And of course, the rest of us agents, we have a concern, yes? I heard a story once about an agent who got their commission check. It's $200 less. Goes to the manager all upset. Says, how come my check is $200 less? And the manager said, well, the last check I gave you $200 more. You didn't say anything then. Well, the agent said, well, you know, I don't mind a mistake every so often, but this is becoming a habit, and I think I should bring it to your attention. All right, so what are we going to cover today? Let me give you an overview of what we're going to accomplish. First of all, I want to give you the concepts, and you don't have to write this part down, but the first thing I want to do is I'll give you the concepts of getting a higher commission. Now, today is not going to be just technique. One of the things my power agents will tell you where I'm different from other speakers is that I don't just give you tips and techniques. I give you the concept behind the tips and techniques, and I'll tell you why this is important. I heard a speaker say this once when I was an agent. You know, tips and techniques are great, but what happens if the other person doesn't know their part? You know, it'd be nice. You go on a listing appointment. Donna, here's your part. Here's mine, 10%. Yay! Doesn't work that way. So if you've got the concepts behind the tips and techniques, why they work, then when you're on an appointment, you can come up with your own techniques, your own concepts. I mean, your own techniques, your own dialogue. Does that make sense? So I want to give you the concepts. I'm also going to then give you specific objection handling techniques. We're going to talk about the concepts of the listing conversation and specific techniques to improve your listing appointment. Now, here's why I want to give you that. Because, and I probably have an overhead later that says the same thing. The commission challenge that some of you, by the way, are you having problems with commission, yes or no?
Yes.
Yeah, all right. The problem is not at the end of the conversation when you start talking about commission. The problem with the commission conversation happens before you even get your butt into the office. That's where it starts. Now, this may sound like hype, but man, I'll tell you something. I've learned something that the great agents keep getting better. And the reason why they keep getting better is because there's this point in your career when you have so much business that you can possibly handle or would want to handle. If you got to this point where you got so much business you couldn't even handle it all, what could you be more of? Help me out. Just call it out. Selective. Very good, Marge. Everybody say the word selective. Selective. You go work with the people you want to work with and the heck with all the others. Right? Wouldn't that be great? Well, please notify your face because you're looking at me like, So my point is that the conversation, the commission conversation first happens with your attitude. I'm going to talk a little bit about that. But then here's the other thing about commission. You first have to establish what you bring to the table for this seller. You have to first establish the value. If they don't see the value, if they don't get that you're valuable, if they don't get that they can't, that they'll lose money doing it on their own, if it's a FSBO. If they don't get that, then the commission conversation is going to be weak at best. Does this make sense? Yes or no? So, you know, if you came here today to learn this great technique and these great objection handling techniques on how to get commissions or get higher commissions, you're going to be sadly disappointed. Now, by the way, I am going to give you those. But you're going to take these techniques on how to handle, you know, will you take a less commission? Will you cut your commission? I'm going to give you techniques and handle that. And if you don't first improve your listing appointment, you use these techniques, it's not going to work. Is this making sense?
Yeah.
All right. So let's get into this a little bit. I want to put some real value. I want to put some value on this whole seminar. I started thinking about something. What is the average commission that you guys are getting right now? Tony, oh my God, she had like a stroke just now. Of course, yeah. Six? Anybody getting fives?
Not average.
That's a yes. So let me ask you this. When you get to 6%, how about sevens? Any sevens? God, I got some power agents. Got one power agent. Her name's Kelly Shumway from Kansas City. You know Kansas City?
Yeah.
Anyway, Kelly, she's a second year into real estate. She's in the power program 8 months. She's done this month 22 transactions. Is that pretty good, yes or no?
Yes.
Kelly said by herself. Well, she has a team now. See, she has a team, but she didn't have a team. But she said the power program's helped her triple her production. Now, Kelly, some power agents, what they do, you know, I train about 1,000 a year, and there's probably, I can count on two hands the number of power agents that call me to get one-on-one coaching. It's amazing that more agents don't tap into it. She calls me on a regular basis, and so that's probably why she's gotten so much value. But anyway, I'm coaching her now to start charging 8%. And that's my point. You know, when I was at Nito Cobain, who's a famous speaker, not in real estate, but Nito is in the corporate America world, and he belongs to the same association I do, which is the National Speakers Association. I heard Nito say at one of our seminars, because we speakers, we have our own conventions we go to, believe it or not. Can you imagine going to that type of convention? Speakers on stage, speakers in the audience, yay! All right. It's pretty fun. Anyway, Nito said in one of his seminars, he said, listen, when you got so much business that you can't handle it, don't turn it away, just raise your fee. Just raise your fee and have people choose not to do business with you. Now, if they still do business with you, which actually, ironically, is what happens most of the time. When you get so busy and you start raising your fees, you don't lose business. You make more money. Now you can take that money and hire more staff to support the business that you can't handle. Oh, and here's the other thing I wanted to say. Oh. The thing about top agents, here's what I know is, some of you, there's this financial ceiling. This ceiling is what I would call survival. Okay? And when you are struggling to keep paying your bills production-wise and you keep hitting that ceiling, once you break through that ceiling where you get more business than you can handle, that's when you're going to see more 7%. That's when you'll see more listings and more sales because, let me use buyers for an instance, so I make sure I'm communicating this really well here. My best year in real estate was my last year. Can anybody guess why that was maybe my best year in real estate? I was relaxed, but why was I relaxed, Donna? It was my last year, what was I going into? Going into seminars. My last year was my best year is because when I took a buyer out, I didn't care if they bought. I was getting the heck out of this listing and selling thing. I was getting into seminars. Now, why would that make it my best year? Is because the buyers knew, they could sense I wasn't trying to sell them a house. It wasn't about me making money or getting a commission off of them. So the fact that they weren't feeling pressured or sold, they were freed up to just choose whether they like the house or not. Are you all with me on this? Yes or no? Yeah. That's what happens with great top-producing agents. Top-producing agents get to this point, if they lose a deal here or there, lose a listing here and there, it's okay because they've got so much. And when they get to that attitude, all of a sudden people want to work with them versus the agent trying to sell them. And some of you have to make that transition. Some of you are going to have to fake it till you do make it. Now let's go back to this, what I was going to say about the money. When you charge 6%, how much do you pay out? What's your average? Three. So you're telling me you pay out 50%, yes?
Right.
All right, so I'm going to give you a technique right now. If we ended the seminar right now, you're going to make more money. Managers, work with me on this. Is it harder to get listings in today's market, yes or no? Who has more risk, the listing agent or the selling agent? All right, tell me why. Why does the listing agent have more risk? Because they put out more money, yes?
Yes.
All right, when you're the listing side, aren't you taking on an obligation where you're spending your money and your time to give this property exposure, and there's no guarantee you're going to actually see any return on that money? Is that possible, yes or no? Now, if you and I were going to buy real estate together, because I also buy investment properties, if we were going to buy real estate together, you found the piece, and I gave you all the money, I have more of the risk, guess what? We ain't doing 50-50 partnership. Why? Because I'm bringing more to the table. Are you with me? So if that is so keeping that concept in mind, I believe the listing agent should get more money for two basic reasons. Number one, it's harder to get listings in today's market, like we all agree. Therefore, you should get rewarded more. Can you all agree with me on this? Yes or no? It's funny. I was teaching this to a group of power agents, and they started to fight me. Yeah, but the agents will be upset, and they started fighting me on this. I'm like, hey, listen, gang. I'm trying to help you make more money. You want to fight me on it? Go right ahead. Keep fighting me. But it is true. Is it true that come closing time, you're going to upset some agents? Yes or no? Yeah, so what does that mean? What's going to happen? So you're going to upset an agent. What's going to happen? What's that? They may not show you listings. Could that happen in today's market? I'm sorry. What I'm doing down here is plugging my... I keep unplugging the thing. What the heck is he doing? Looking up her skirt. Okay. Is it possible the agents are not going to show your listings, the ones that get upset? Thank you. Not in this market. Not in this market. They're going to kick and scream. And most of the kicking and screaming is because they're jealous that they didn't do it, that they didn't think of it. They're jealous they just didn't even get the listing. Even at 50-50, they're mad. Yes or no?
Yes.
So what I'm going to invite you to do right now, you'll make more money, is when you leave here today, from now on, you get a 6%, or 7%. You, instead of, well, here, well, let's see, what, 6%? Are there listings out there that are 2.5% selling brokers fee, yes or no? Lots. I'd invite you then at 6% to maybe pay out 2.5. Maybe even 2.75. A little bit is still better, yes? I'm going to show you something. Watch this. Here's a little graph. I started figuring this thing out. So let's say if you on the listing side got 2.5%. Now it's a 5% commission. Split 50-50. This is your end. This is not the selling end. This is the listing end, these numbers. So if you went from 2.5% to 3% on the listing sold side, that's a $10,000. This is based on if you sold 10 houses at $200,000 each. You know, you got to do your own math. If you had 10 listings sell on an average of $200,000, then if you brought this up just a 0.5%, that's an extra 10 grand. 3.5 would be 20,000. Now, depending on your split with your office. But so if we look at here, if you go from, now this is what I'm telling Kelly to do. On 7% commission, she keeps 4.5. No, that's on the 8%. I told her at 8%, 4.5, and she pays out 3.5. That's reasonable, right? On a 7%, here's what I think is fair. I would pay out 3% and keep 4. That's what I would absolutely do. At a minimum. And if it's a hot house that you may be able to sell yourself, or it's going to sell in a few weeks, I pay out 2.5%. Here's the concept of selling broker's commission. We're not in partnership. When you're the listing agent and the selling, you're not in partnership with these people. When we get a listing, that's our house. That's our client, yes?
Yes.
That's ours. By the way, if you want to sell my property, here's what I'm going to pay out. That should be your attitude. This is my listing. You want to play with me? I'm going to give you a shot. You should be happy I'm giving you a shot. Because I'd probably sell it myself. But here you go, 2.5%. You don't like that, guess what? You don't have to show it.
Right, right.
It's your choice. So even on the hot houses that would sell in no time at all, it's going to take very little time for people to put it together. I would pay less that. All right, now, let's talk about listings. Yes? You hear that? What Cindy said, make sure the homeowner knows. That's not being divided equally. Okay, now. Let's talk about focusing on listings. Here's the other thing about commissions. To get higher commissions, what I've noticed about top agents, agents who are making six figures, is one of the reasons why they're able to get higher commissions is because they have a focus and a commitment to getting more listings. See, if you're sitting here and you like to work primarily buyers, I got to tell you something. This is where I thought of this. I'm very excited about this. So McGraw-Hill. So, you know, McGraw-Hill calls me up a couple of years ago. My secretary says, McGraw-Hill's on the phone. I said, put in my voicemail because I thought they wanted me to subscribe to, like, Book of the Month. I did. I really did. I listened to the voicemail. The editor said, you know, we've heard that you're one of the top 5 real estate speakers out there, and we'd like you to write a book on real estate. So I quickly called him back. The How to Become Power Agent is based on the Power Program. Now, it's not the Power Program, but it's based on it. Right now, this book is selling in the top 2% of all publishing houses. Is that pretty good, yes or no?
Yeah, great.
And it really is a good read, the book. But anyway, so now they call me up, and they want me to write a second book. All right, anyway, so I'm like all excited, but I'm thinking like, what the heck am I going to write about, you know? So they want me to write a book for new agents. All right? So I'm thinking, all right, because I don't really train new agents. I train experienced agents, although new agents do get value out of taking the Power Program. But I started writing this book, and I see a training program coming out of this maybe. Because I'll tell you why. I'm thinking if I were going to take a new agent and help them make close to 6 figures their first year, what would I tell them to do? And you know what I would tell them to do? You are not allowed to show one darn house until you list 6 houses. That's what I would tell them to do. Your price of admission is you have to list 6 houses. That's it, and that's all you should do. And I'm getting excited because I believe any new agent, if a manager did this with a new agent, they would be a top agent, absolutely. But Darryl, they need money. They got to pay their bills. That's right. They'll be so hungry, they'll knock on every damn door. They'll make every possible phone call. They'll do what it takes so they can feed their family instead of showing. But why is this important? Here's why it's important. It's because if your mindset is not to be a listing agent, you have to be committed to being a listing agent in order to get the higher commissions. You have to be committed to building your listing inventory in order to get the higher commissions. Let me share something else with you. Let's talk about improving your listing appointment. I already said this. The commission of conversation begins before you even enter the office. It's all about your attitude. You have to feel that you're worth it. Some of you, your biggest problem is that you are so insecure, you wouldn't even list with yourself. You're so insecure, you wouldn't even list with yourself. I was reading this magazine and something jumped out at me. It said something about knowledge gives confidence. The more knowledgeable you are about your business and your product, the more confident you are. Some of you really are not. You know, some of you, and I say this with affection, are just showing up in real estate. You got your license, you pass the test, and you basically show up. You show up by going to office meetings. You show up by going on Caravan. You show up when there's a listing appointment. But where the real rubber meets the road is you have to be the cause for your business versus being at the effect of it. Being at the effect of it is sitting in the office waiting for something to happen. Being the cause of it means you're picking up the phone and you're prospecting. You're doing mailings. You're calling past clients. You're going on a listing appointments. You have to really, I can't stress this enough, you have to be committed to getting more listings. And you have to master the listing conversation. When you go there, you've got to, listen, arrogance is good. A little bit anyway. I mean, I don't know if you can tell, but I'm a little arrogant.
Really?
Just a little bit. Because if you don't feel good about yourself or know what you bring to the table or that you're good at what you do, people are going to smell that insecurity. Yes?
Right.
They're going to smell it. So this is not a listing workshop, but I'm going to try and give you some ideas on how to improve your listing appointment. I know if I can help improve your confidence and your abilities on that listing appointment, I know you can get a higher commission. Now, as far as this listing appointment, here's what I want to tell you. First, you got to validate the industry, then validate yourself. Now, let me explain what I mean by this. In the Power Program, we teach the Power Agents a process of the listing appointment. And the first part is you need to validate. Validate. Actually, that's a typo. Hang out. Don't write that. That's not what I mean. This is a typo. First, you have to validate yourself. If I were going to give you the listing appointment, be yourself. Then the company. Then the real estate industry. You got to validate yourself first, then the company, then the industry. That if people haven't bought into you, they don't like you, they don't trust you, anything that you say about Long and Foster, they're not going to believe or listen to. Yes?
Right.
Plus, people don't list with companies, they list with people.
Right.
So they first got to buy into you. Now watch this. If they buy into you and you say something like this, it'll have much more power. You know, Mr. and Mrs. Hanahana is a licensed agent in the state of, Maryland and Virginia. I have the ability to put myself with any company that I want. As a matter of fact, by the way, do you ever have other companies trying to recruit you, yes or no? Do they ever send you letters? Yeah, what do you do with those letters? Throw them in the trash, don't you? Watch this. Watch this. This right here was the worth price of admission. You take those letters from Remax, Gold Bank, all those folks, and BS Realty, you know, Bob Smith's office. You take those letters, don't throw them in the garbage. You put them in your listing book. And you say, BJ, as a licensed agent in the state of Maryland and Virginia, I can work anywhere I want. As a matter of fact, that company you were telling me that you were looking at maybe talking to, here's a letter from them wanting to recruit me to work there. And here's another one from another. Here's another one from another. I can work anywhere I want. I choose Long and Foster. Why? Because they're the best of the best. It helps my clients get their home sold. See, if everything being equal, if you can fly from here to California, first class or coach, which would you fly?
First class.
With Long and Foster, you fly first class. Are you with me? See, when you validate yourself and they buy into you, then you validate the company. It has much more power. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
All right. Now, this validate the industry. Let me talk about this. I'm going to assume that, let's see. There's almost two types of sellers. There's the seller, or three. There's the one seller that is definitely committed to working with an agent. They know they can't do it themselves. Got it?
Right.
Those people are obviously the easiest to talk to and list. They don't have the notion of doing it on their own. Then there's the other group, the other spectrum of that, where these people are committed to doing it on their own, no matter what. Most of the time because they want to save the money, the commission. Then you got this other group that's in between. They're still similar to the first, meaning that they think they can do it on their own, but they'll give it to an agent at their price, meaning the price they're willing to pay. Both of those two sellers have not bought into the real estate industry and what we bring to the table. For you to discuss commission before they buy into the value of realtor is a waste of time. I will say that again. If you talk commission with a seller who's one of those two people who hasn't totally committed to the real estate industry, realtor, talking about commission is a waste of time. That's where you're going to get fives and sixes and struggles. Are you all with me on this? These people are price shopping. They're not skill shopping. We need to convey that what you hire should not be based on price, but based on skill. And I'm going to show you how you can prove to somebody by actually price shopping, it'll cost them more money in the long run. Jot this down. Third-party negotiating. You've heard this expression, the person who represents themselves. You know, an attorney who represents themselves has a fool for a client, yes? All right. One of the things we also show the power agents what they should do is they should be fake when they're on a listing appointment. They should actually say, hey, BJ, one of the things that we bring to the table is our objectivity, the fact that we're not personally attached to the situation. We can actually manage it better for you as opposed to you representing yourself. Let me ask you a question. Let's pretend that you're selling the house to me. I'm a buyer. How much do you want for this house? Give me a number in your market. $200,000, okay. So I'm a buyer and I say, so BJ, let me ask you a question. I know you're asking $200,000. Every buyer and every seller, you know, has an asking price, but what is your real bottom line number? Because there's always some negotiation in there. What's your happy number? Let's see if I can help you here.
$195,000.
Now, BJ, just to get out of character for a minute, you just broke the number one rule of negotiating. She who speaks price first loses. So right now you just threw away $5,000. All right, but let's continue on. So here, so I'm $195,000. Okay, but no, that you've got $195,000. That doesn't work. What's really your happy number? What's your real happy number?
Well, if we close early,
$190,000. Okay, good. You just did it again, BJ. You just threw another $5,000. I love you. You're a beautiful human being. All right, now. Let's say if I bought it cash right now for $180,000, would that work for you? $180,000 right now. That'll work. Okay, good. So you just lost $20,000, and we've only been doing this for 2 minutes. See, here's my point. What I bring to the table is that there's things that we hear the buyers, there's emotion, that there's just a sense that we have. We've been doing this full time. This is all I do night and day, day and night. So there's a certain skill that I have in negotiating. Is that true? Yes or no?
Yes.
All right. We have more resources available is why we're going to net the seller more money. Let me show you something here. To get the highest possible price in anything, I don't care if you're selling a car, furniture, shoes, you see, whatever you're selling, to get the highest possible price, we want as many buyers through the front doors. Yes?
Yes.
More buyers drives the price. Which is better for a seller, to have one buyer interested or to have 10?
10,
actually, yes? Matter of fact, one of the things I'll tell power agents do when you're showing property, actually, and it's a hot house, actually call 3 buyers at the same time to come out and see the house. 3 buyers at the same time. They all wait out on the lawn. You bring buyers number one in. Come on in. Now they come out, buyers two, while their buyers one are walking around the property. And I'll tell you something, these three people want what other people want. Yes?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That creates urgency. So if there's urgency, it drives the price. So how do we get the highest possible price? It's one, as many buyers through the front doors. How do you have the most buyers through the front doors on a particular property? How do you do that? Oh, man, you see advertise. Hold that thought. Let's go on. Exposure, meaning that every buyer, BJ, in the $200,000 price range should know that your house is for sale, yes or no? We got to give it exposure. Now, how do we give it the most exposure? What do you say? How do you give the most exposure to something? Advertise. See, that's not what's under this piece of paper right now, and I want to straighten your butt out right now about advertising. Stop using the word advertising. As a matter of fact, the best thing you can do is take it out of your vocabulary. The reason why is because that's why they think they don't need you. I got advertising, is what the FISBO says. I know that's not what you mean. When you mean advertising, you mean what's under this piece of paper I'm going to show you, but that's not what you say. You say advertising, and they think they got that already. So please, take it out of your mouth. If you, as far as print advertising, they can do that. There's got to be something more we bring to the table than print advertising. Yes. You said that? Good, sir. Marketing tools. The more marketing tools you use, the more exposure it gets. The more exposure, the more buyers are coming through the front doors, which means we drive the price. Now you can say effectively to a FISBO, Mr. and Mrs. FISBO, how many marketing tools are you using?
Well, you know, we got the ad in the Tyson's Corner Times.
Okay, good.
Oh, wait, I'm in Maryland.
The Ocean City Shore paper or something?
Central Maryland.
Central Maryland Homes. I got an ad. Okay, good. What else you got?
Well, I got my for sale sign.
Yes, and I like how you put the neon lights on it, too. That's very nice. So basically what you're telling me is you got two tools. Well, I told some friends that's not a tool, but that's good. So you got two. Well, here at Long and Foster, we got over a couple of dozen. Let me share with you a few of them. One of our tools is, and then you show them the MLS, and you show them the open house, and then you show them the things that make us unique. Let me give you an example of one of the tools that really helps drive the price for a seller. What's the best type of buyer? Best type of buyer?
Pre-approved,
good. What else? Non-contingent. Where does the best buyers come from? Referrals. What else? That would be for us. For a seller, what's the best buyer? Think. Where are they coming from? Relocation. Why would relocation be the best? Urgency. Commitment to buying, not commitment to stealing. And they don't know value. Or they don't care. They don't care. If I can afford the monthly payments, I got to get my butt here because the company wants me here. Or I'm already here renting an apartment. My wife's across country in San Jose, you know, and boy, I need her here. Now, you know what, BJ? You know that ad that you're running in the newspaper as a for sale by owner? Guess what? The Maryland Times, they don't get that in San Jose. So the best cream of the crop buyers in our business don't even know your house is for sale. Does that make sense, gang? Yes or no?
Yes.